We're going through the Old Testament. We're up to 1 Chronicles chapter 17. So going through 1 Chronicles, we're up to chapter 17. And you remember, I hate to keep repeating this every week, but just to keep it in the back of our mind, who are the 1 and 2 Chronicles? Who's the Lord trying to minister to through them? It's the Jews who are returning to the land, right? So to me, it really helps application-wise to remember why the Lord is recounting their history for them. They've already heard this, they've been taught it, they were raised on it, and now the Lord's bringing this all back to them, and he's encouraged them as they're coming back into the land. And there's, when we apply it to them, it comes up to be some great applications for us too. So, and when we're going through the 1 and 2 Chronicles, that's who it's referring to. The Lord's trying to encourage them and lift their heart as they're coming back to the blessed promised land. So we got a chance to start chapter 17 last time. I just want to start reading at the beginning of the chapter, get us back in the context. So let's start at verse 1, 1 Chronicles 17. Now it came to pass when David was dwelling in his house that David said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under tent curtains." Then Nathan said to David, "Do all that is in your heart, for God is with you." But it happened that night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, you shall not build me a house to dwell in. For I have not dwelt in a house since the time that I brought up Israel, even to this day, but have gone from tent to tent and from one tabernacle to another. Wherever I have moved about with all Israel, have I ever spoken a word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now therefore, thus shall you say to my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and have made you a name like the name of the great men who are on the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them any more as previously. Since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, also I will subdue all your enemies. Furthermore, I tell you that the Lord will build you a house." So we got to that point last time. The Lord had promised that he was going to establish Israel in their homeland, that he was going to protect them from their enemies, and that's a beautiful thing to hear from the Lord. What a great promise. And when Jesus comes back to set up his kingdom, that is exactly what's going to happen. So we look forward to that time. We saw last time, too, that the word house here, when the Lord said he was going to build a house for David, it's talking about a dynasty. So the Lord was going to set up this dynasty for David, meaning his family line was going to continue to be on the throne all the way down to the Messiah. And the Lord explains what that means even further in the next section there. So let's look at verse 11. "And it shall be when your days are fulfilled, when you must go to be with your fathers, that I will set up your seed after you, who will be of your sons, and I will establish his kingdom." So the first part of this, the promise was fulfilled through Solomon. He was the first son from the family line that was going to be part of the fulfillment of this promise. And the Lord goes on to say in verse 12, this son was going to be the one that would build a house for the Lord. Remember, that's how this whole thing started. Dave wanted to build that house for the Lord. So it was Solomon that the Lord was going to use to build that temple that David wanted to build for the Lord. This had to be a blessing and a comfort to David to know that his son would be the one to fulfill his dreams of building a house for the Lord. So here's an encouragement for us and for the Jews who are returning to the house, to the land there, I mean. Excuse me. Even if you don't get to do all that is on your heart to do for the Lord, you can pray that your son or some young person maybe that you've had a chance to influence, that they might fulfill the dreams that you have of serving the Lord. Yeah, you may not even see it in your lifetime, but wouldn't it be a blessing to know down the road when you're standing in glory with the Lord that the Lord shows you, here was your dream and it was fulfilled by this person that you influenced. That would be pretty cool. So David, he gets to experience part of that joy. I'm sure he's already seen Solomon and seen the fulfillment of that in his own time when he was with the Lord there. So go further, excuse me, verse 12. He shall build me a house, and I will establish his throne forever. Now David understood what this meant. This was the most blessed promise that David had ever received from the Lord, other than his own salvation. This promise was that the future Messiah would come from David's own family line. Wow. That's a lot to take in for David here. All he had on his heart that day was to build a nice house for the Lord. And then the Lord gives him this humongous blessing in return. Like some people say, you just can't outgive the Lord. I want us to see some of the verses that they're throughout Scripture. They verify this promise that the Lord gave to David about the Messiah. Look at Isaiah chapter 9. If you want to read these with me, you can. If not, I'll read them to you. But Isaiah chapter 9 is the first one. And there's other places you could go to see this, but these are pretty clear. Isaiah chapter 9, down to verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And notice what it says, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So there's mention the Messiah being on the throne of David. Look at another familiar passage in Luke chapter 1. This is one of our Christmas passages we use. And down to verse 32 in Luke chapter 1. It says, he will be great, he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And one more is in Romans chapter 1. So it's amazing to me, when you think about it, for this promise the Lord has given to David, it is echoed throughout Scripture thousands of years later, and we're still talking about it today. That's truly amazing. Romans chapter 1, if you look at verse 1, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice here, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So this promise that the Lord gave to David, man, it's all through Scripture. He's fulfilling that. Jesus has already come the first time, and when he comes back the second time, he is still going to be acknowledged as being on the throne of David. It's an amazing blessing that the Lord gave to David here. And like I said, we're still talking about it today. It's pretty amazing. So back to 1 Chronicles 17. Let's go even further here in verse 13. The Lord is still talking to David through the prophet Nathan here. I will be his father, he shall be my son, and I will not take my mercy away from him as I took it from him who was before you. Of course, this is talking about King Saul. I mean, David had seen the Lord remove his spirit from King Saul, and he saw his downfall because he turned away from God. So that would be a concern of your heart after knowing that's a possibility, right? So King Saul was the picture of that one. And Saul, the problem with him, he just continued to do things his own way. You know, rather than simply obeying the Lord, he refused to do that. He thought he knew better. So he'd do it his way and turn out as a big mess for him. Now, as a side note about this verse here, if you got the NIV Bible or the ESV Bible, you need to correct this verse in them. Those translations say that the Lord took his love away from Saul. Now, that's a bad way to translate that, and it even sounds bad, you know, that the Lord would take his love away from someone. Man, that just gives you a bad taste in your mouth. See, that word that was used there, it can be translated loving kindness. So if you want to say the Lord took his kindness away from Saul, that can actually fit as a possible translation. But to remove the word kindness and focus on the loving part, that's just wrong, you know? I'm really sorry, folks, but this verse has now been added to my list of pet peeve verses that get me disturbed when I see them in a translation like that, okay? And yes, as we're talking about Solomon here being the one the Lord's going to use to build that temple, he actually did some sinful things too, some really bad stuff. They were abominations to the Lord also. But the Lord here promised this to David, that he would not take his mercy away from Solomon. And it's because of the promise the Lord made right here. Now, before you get all upset about this, you say, wait a minute, how's that fair? Saul messed up and he had a bad price to pay. Solomon messed up and he seemed to slip through the cracks there. But before you get upset about that, just think back about how the Lord did not remove his mercy from you and me. You know, although we sinned after we were saved, and the Lord could have, you know, he could have just kicked us out if he wanted to and justified that. So, you know, because of the promise, the covenant that he made with his son Jesus, the one we just celebrated, that's the only reason we're still here. You realize that, right? So this may not apply to any of you here about misbehaving before the Lord, but I can speak for myself and say the Lord has given me about tons and tons of mercy, and he still does every day. So if you're a believer in Jesus, then you can put your name in verse 13. Let's think that through. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. And this is talking about any believer in Christ. I will not take my mercy away from him. Don't you praise the Lord for that. His mercies are new every single day, and his mercies will be with us for all eternity. So if you don't believe that, read the psalm that keeps saying his mercy endures forever. Every other verse it says that his mercy endures forever. But it's true. Go on to verse 14. I will establish him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forever. Well, there it is. That's the promise of the Messiah and his everlasting kingdom, and that's Jesus. Verse 15, according to all these words and according to all this vision, so Nathan spoke to David. Now, when you compare this with verse 3, when it said it happened at night, that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, it lets us know that apparently God gave this whole message for David to Nathan in a vision. So this is amazing. The Lord, he knows how to communicate with us in a just very amazing ways sometimes. Now, I say this with a word of caution. Make sure that any message you think you're hearing directly from the Lord, and it's not just a pepperoni pizza you ate before bed or something, but make sure the message you're hearing from the Lord agrees 100% with Scripture, okay? Because the Lord will never go against his word. His word is our safeguard against false prophecies and against false teaching. So be a good Berean and always check things out with the word. And let me add, especially when we're teaching here, be sure to check out what we're saying with the word. You don't have to believe it if it's something that we're saying, but if the Lord's saying it in his word, then you have to believe it. But check us out. We're good with that, okay? So check everything out with the word of God. Verse 16 goes on. Then King David went in and he sat before the Lord. So he's now received this message from Nathan the prophet. He realizes what the Lord has just told him, and it's really working on him. So he comes in and he just sits down before the Lord. He's in the presence of the Lord here, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house? It's like, what is my family that you have brought me this far? Wow. So this is David's reaction to what he just heard from the Lord. You know, he had just had to get alone with the Lord. That's his reaction. I just need to get alone with the Lord. Did you ever have times like that? You know, when the Lord just overwhelmed you with a blessing and you were basically just awestruck before the Lord. And it's like, I just need to get alone with him. I just need to talk to the Lord here. So David, he just wants to express his gratitude to the Lord, and he's going to kind of just process this out loud with the Lord. Because as we read this, it's pretty interesting to think to position David's in. Like I said, he woke up that day thinking, I really want to do this. I want to build this house for the Lord. And now he's going through this time where he's just realized the Messiah is going to come from his family line. It's going to be his great-great-great-great-great-grandson somewhere down the road. He doesn't know where, but he's just been given that promise. Wow. So David just wants to be alone with the Lord and kind of work this through out loud. So this shows us here, as we go through this, that David was so very humble before the Lord. You know, even though he had some outstanding accomplishments to his name, he accomplished some things in Israel that nobody else did. You know, he knows, even though he could be kind of bragging on that or trying to, he knows that he's a nobody without the Lord. And to be honest, we can all say the same thing. And Jesus would amen that if you think about it. He said, without me, you can do nothing. So with the Lord, we're amazingly blessed. But without him, we're what David said. He's a nobody here. So verse 17, David says, and yet this was a small thing in your sight, O God. You know, the Lord had brought him from being a shepherd to raising him to being the top guy in Israel. He's the king. And he said, yet this was a small thing in your sight, O God. And you have also spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come, promising that dynasty. And you have regarded me according to the rank of a man of high degree, O Lord God. So David acknowledges that the Lord had taken him from being that little shepherd boy to make him the king of the nation of Israel. And although that was a huge thing for David in his life, in reality, he said, it was a small thing for the Lord to do. Wow, it wasn't difficult for the Lord to do that at all. So can you imagine that whatever the Lord has allowed you to do in your life, maybe something that you never thought you'd be able to do, that even though it was huge for you, it was really something that didn't take much effort for the Lord to do. I mean, it was a small thing for the Lord in his sight, as David says. You know, the Lord is so amazing. He is so wise. He is so powerful. It just hits you if you stop and think about this. David, I love his knowledge of the Lord, his relationship with God. That he doesn't say, man, you did this for me. That was super, Dad. And he says, you did this for me, and I know it was just a small thing for you. Wow. So David was just as blown away by the fact that the Lord was going to bless his house for a long time in the future. And also the Lord was giving David a blessing here that you would think, as he says, you would think he'd be giving this to a more dignified man of high degree. David was a shepherd boy. You know, even his own dad didn't call him in when Samuel was coming over. So David was truly astonished at what the Lord was promising him. And if you and I would stop to really think about the eternal promises the Lord has made to us through his son Jesus, we would be just as blown away. You know, I know for myself sometimes you just get caught up with the speed of life around you. And you just have to really put the brakes on like we did today at communion and stop and think how the Lord is going to bless us in his presence for all eternity. I can't even fathom that, you know. It's thinking the Lord's going to bless us today and whatever's going to happen, we don't know, but he's going to bless us today. It's like that's more than enough, Lord. That's awesome. We're just thankful for that. But no, every moment for eternity, just engulfed in the Lord's blessings. Wow. Yeah, so David, he's getting hit with some of this stuff. Verse 18 goes on. David says, "What more could David say to you for the honor of your servant?" He's giving him such honor. For he says, "For you know your servant." Wow, can anybody relate to that verse? Did you ever feel like the Lord ever treats you so much better than you deserve? Like you're a man or a woman of high degree? You know, and when you look in the mirror, you think, "Lord, are you sure you got the right guy here?" Like David acknowledged here, he acknowledged this, we're all just servants. That's all we are. The Lord's the master. He is the true conqueror. He is the Lord God Almighty. And we're just grateful to be his servants. Verse 19 goes on. "Or Lord, for your," David's still talking, "Or Lord, for your servant's sake, and according to your own heart, you have done all this greatness in making known all these great things." So David, he sounds like he's in shock. He's almost stumbling over his words, but it's so beautiful to see David's love, his honor, and his respect and his gratitude for the Lord. Verse 20 goes on, "O Lord, there is none like you, nor is there any God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears." And they've heard about a lot of gods. I mean, they were surrounded by false gods all over the place. So David said, "I've heard about a lot of them, but none of them match up to you." So the Lord stands alone in a category of one. And you will never hear of any God greater than our Lord. There was a Muslim who was trying to convince a Christian that his God was the same God as our Christian God. And the Muslim said, "We worship the same God." But the Christian asked him a very important question, one that would separate the Muslim's false God from the real God of the Bible. And this is what he asked the Muslim. He said, "Did your God send his son to die in your place and wash away your sins by his blood?" And the Muslim answered in disgust and said, "No." And the Christian man said, "Well, my God did." He went on to say, "So I guess we're not worshiping the same God at all." That's a great question to ask anyone who would dare to compare their false God to the true God of the Bible. Sorry, guys. Our God truly stands alone, high and above any other God that this world might try to come up with. Verse 21, "And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on the earth whom God went to redeem for himself as a people, to make for yourself a name by great and awesome deeds, by driving out nations from before your people whom you redeemed from Egypt?" So what a blessed place Israel is in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord redeemed them from Egypt, the world power. He took them out of that place and destroyed the Egyptian army. Then as he brought them to the promised land, he removed nations from the land. He said, "I will fight these people ahead of you. You just follow me." So the Lord did all of that for this nation of Israel. So this should speak volumes to the Jews who are returning to the land after the Babylonian exile. The Lord even made a great name for himself by being their miraculous redeemer. Verse 22 goes on, "For you have made your people Israel, your very own people, for how long? Forever. And you, Lord, have become their God." This is a verse that everybody in the world needs to pay attention to, especially Christians in our time period. It's just shameful, I think, for any church that calls itself Christian to turn their back on and even come close to cursing Israel and the Jews. The Lord is not done with Israel. He even explains that in the New Testament. I want to look at that for just a minute because it's really important for us to see. If you want to turn to Romans 11, we're just going to look at a couple verses here. But we really need to keep up on this stuff, I think. There's a lot of false teaching going out there, a lot of people trying to turn us away from Israel. And my goodness, you're reading what the Lord says in the Old Testament. Some people even say the word forever doesn't mean forever. What? What dictionary are you using, you know? Romans 11, verse 25. For I do not desire, brethren, this is Paul talking, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. Mystery is something that hasn't been revealed until this time. Lest you should be wise in your own opinion that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion. He will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Talking about nationally here. Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. It's talking about Israel. Okay? And there's more you can read on this in Romans chapters 9, chapters 10, and chapters 11. So those are good passages to remember as we're during this time period where we're in. We're seeing so many turn against Israel, and it doesn't even make sense. I know it's a spiritual thing, but it's like one of those things that just doesn't make sense. So let's get back to our passage of 1 Chronicles 17, go a little bit further here. Verse 23, it says, "And now, O Lord, the word which you have spoken concerning your servant," this is David talking here still, "and concerning his house, let it be established forever and do as you have said. So let it be established that your name may be magnified forever, saying the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, is Israel's God, and that the house of your servant David be established before you." So David is just saying here, Lord, please let this tremendous blessing here happen just the way that you said it would. And when David says that, you know, your name may be magnified. Remember, to magnify something, it means to make it bigger. So when we lift up the name of the Lord before people, we are magnifying his name. We're bringing it to their attention, okay? The devil, he hates that. And if our world is trying to shrink the name of the Lord Jesus, if you notice, they don't even want to hear it spoken out loud. But we have the opportunity to magnify his name every chance that we get. I was reminded of Kurt Warner, the former quarterback, you know, the Rams, how he loved to magnify the name of the Lord. Whenever they stuck a microphone in his face after the game, he would always start out by loudly proclaiming, "Jesus is Lord." And then he'd let them interview him. And it was really comical how some of the announcers tried to sidestep that, you know, and get him away from doing that. But he never would, you know, because he was determined to lift up the name of the Lord. It was so comical to watch him try to not do that. Well, that's a really good example for us, to never let an opportunity slip by when we can magnify the name of the Lord Jesus. And David here, when he was saying, you know, Lord, let this blessing, let it happen just the way you said, you and I can pray that for any blessing the Lord offers us in his word. We can pray that. Lord, you promised this. You promised if I follow you, you'd make me a fisher of men. Lord, please let that promise come to pass. We can pray those things. I love the way David prays. He's got such a great walk with the Lord. Verse 25 goes on, "For you, O God, you, O my God, have revealed to your servant that you will build him a house. Therefore, your servant has found it in his heart to pray before you." So David, he's just flabbergasted, and he keeps referring to himself as God's servant over and over again. That's what he said. He kind of looks like he's stumbling over his words. He's like, I got to say something. I just don't know. It just keeps coming here that I'm your servant. I'm your servant. You're my God. You're my God. And thank you. Thank you. And it's funny how to see his excitement here. And he ends up in this verse basically saying, because of all these blessings for your servant, that's why I just had to pray to you. Wow. It's beautiful. Verse 26 goes on, "And now, Lord, you are God, and you have promised this goodness to your servant. Now you have been pleased to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue before you forever. For you have blessed it, O Lord, and it shall be blessed forever." Wow. So you can still hear that David is overwhelmed at what the Lord was doing. And this might sound kind of redundant, you know, to some, because David just keeps saying blessing, blessing, blessing. But it's a whole lot better than us taking God's blessings for granted and even forgetting to say thank you to the Lord. But that can happen way too often, right? Well, I'd like to get into the next section, but we're going to hold off on that because there's some quite a bit to chew on there. So we'll stop at this point, guys. And when you come across those blessings in God's word, pray them back to him, you know. Pray, and Lord doesn't mind at all hearing us say, Lord, remember you said you would do this. Please bring this to happen. Please let it happen, Lord, just according to your will. So let's pray right now. Father, I thank you for the beauty of your word. We thank you to open David's heart and let us see his heart for you, Lord. He had such an awesome walk. Lord, help us to continue to grow closer to you every single day. We know we're in the last days. We know you're returning soon, Jesus. We look so forward to that. The days we have left, Lord, please remind us. Don't let us miss an opportunity. We pray when the opportunities come, just immediately, please fill us with your spirit. Just take over the conversation and magnify your name. Lord, it's a joy to serve you. It's a joy that we can call ourselves your servants. Lord, if there's anyone listening to us today who doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, today, Lord, please break down any barriers that are there. Please help them humble themselves that they could see their need for a Savior and let them realize that Jesus paid it all. Lord, he paid for their sins completely on the cross, and all they have to do is receive Christ. So, Father, we want to praise you and thank you for all you've done. You get all the glory, all the praise in Jesus' precious and most powerful name. Amen.